This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
So that will do it. The final score here at MetLife Stadium. The Bills 45 and the Jets 17.
The Jets are just being horrible. There's nothing more to say.
You aren't even in these games. At halftime, these games are over. It looks like it's a football team against a bunch of guys that have almost never played the sport before.
Totally, it's not good enough. Ever since that Tennessee game, it just hasn't been good enough.
That is an indictment on you. I don't care if you're coaching it. It's an indictment on you. At a certain point, you're the one that's going to take the blame. It's going to be Robert Saleh.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
One player on the Buffalo Bills that you said to yourself, this is the guy we cannot have wreck the game.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they Stephon did Diggs. Everybody.
It's Tay Diggs.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Tay Diggs had a day yesterday. Josh Allen had a day yesterday. What did Allen throw for 366 yards? Was that his total yesterday?
You know exactly how many yards he threw for.
I thought I had seen 366. That's a lot of yardage.
366 yards. Oof. That is correct.
That's a lot of yardage. Yeah, I don't know.
Tay went for 162 of them.
And you're right. It's not an offense you look at and you're like, God, we got to slow down. I mean, Sanders is fine. Gabriel Davis is fine. Cole Beasley's a good slot receiver. But their running backs don't terrify you. It's not like there's five guys. It's not like the Chiefs, right? It's not like the Chiefs where you're like, there's Kelsey, there's Tyreek, even this Darrell Williams all of a sudden looks like he's, you know, a good running back. There's one guy. Just slow down Stephon Diggs. And honestly, if Gabriel Davis had gone for 160, you'd say, you know what? At least it wasn't the guy that beat us. At least they made someone else beat them, and he did. To allow Stephon Diggs to torch you all game long was, it's such a bad look for this team.
All game long. It didn't feel like you made any adjustments
Mm-mm.
to fix the problem.
In fact, it got worse as the game went on.
No, I'm telling you, in that one possession, and we talked about it earlier in the show, where, I mean, the possession where Echols ends up actually, he gets hurt during the possession and Guidry comes in. But it was, that one possession was pretty much the definition of what went wrong yesterday with the Jets defense. So you got the double move on Echols. That goes for 57. Echols ends up getting hurt during the possession. Guidry comes in. They attack Guidry immediately.
You won't say his first name, will you? You refuse to say it?
No, I don't love the name. Javelin. Javelin Guidry. Right at him. Diggs makes a really nice catch. Didn't get both feet in bounds, so it's incomplete. So they luck out.
All right, we dodged a bullet here. Woo! All right.
Right back to it. Boom, touchdown. 17-3. Corey Davis, he gets the fumble. He has the fumble. Cue the Corey Davis song, please. And then fourth and one. No, we don't need a timeout. We're going for it, which I love. No, we'll let the... We were on the headsets. The headsets sounded good. Everyone was comfortable. We just didn't... We didn't snap the ball in time, so it was a delay of game.
Play clock running, like it's like five. All right, you know what? Maybe 3, 2, 1. At one. Why wouldn't you? We're not ready. We need to take a timeout. We're not happy. We have to. It's the position we backed ourselves into. Take a timeout. We're frustrated. We're annoyed. But you know what? At least we can go for it on fourth and one.
Yeah, well, that's the point. That's the goal, right? Like, you made that decision. Fourth and one. We like the play call. We're gonna run it. So if God forbid, worst case scenario is, for whatever reason, we're at, you know, 3 seconds on the play clock and the ball's still not snapped, and it doesn't look like we're going to snap the ball, call timeout. Call timeout. I mean, I don't know what you're saving them for at that moment. It's a big play in the game.
Yeah,
but you don't.
I don't
you take
know.
The late game and you punt.
I don't know. It's troubling. It's awful. It's concerning. It's all those words are accurately used right now. It's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's take a listen to one Rob saw. We'll get to your calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. Let's take a listen to what he says about the defense. Here he is, firstly, on the struggles
with his defense.
Clearly, it's not good enough, especially ever since coming off that Tennessee game. It just hasn't been good enough. Atlanta, we played all right, but ever since that bye week, just not nearly as good as we want it to be, and it's something that we've got 8 games left, and from coaches to players, we got to find a way to get better every day, or otherwise you're selling yourself short.
I mean, they have been dreadful. Dreadful. Cincinnati put up over 30. New England put up over 40. Colts put up over 40. This game over 40. It's not easy to give up 40. I mean, they've allowed 30-plus points in 4 straight games, and 3 of the 4, they've allowed 40-plus points.
Well, I mean, Patriots scored 50.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just not easy. Really. This is not tongue-in-cheek. It's not easy to give up 40, 50 points just week in and week out in this league.
Against this defense, and I can't even tell you how many times I wrote it. I'm sitting here looking at my notes from the game. That was way too easy for the Buffalo Bills. Their first possession, they marched down the field. Like they weren't even playing against the defense. They went 5 plays, 58 yards in just under 2 minutes. And scored a touchdown. And then to start the second half, same exact thing. Marched straight down the field. Straight down the field. And, I mean, that you gave up 21 points in the third quarter. So, I mean, that's, again, I mean, we could spend all this time talking about how bad Mike White was. Zach Wilson's going to get his job back, which may be a blessing in disguise, I guess.
I hope so.
Because now he'll, I mean, he looked like he was healthy in pregame warmups. He'll be healthy going into a game against Miami, whose defense is pretty good too, but we'll see what happens. But the real issue right now is this defense.
It stinks.
It stinks.
It really does. And that's the one thing you'd say, well, Sal is a defensive mind, right? And it'll get better as the year goes on. It's getting worse. You're going in the wrong direction. Speaking of that, do you feel like the defense has to go back to kind of square one now? Here is Robert Saleh.
Our system prides itself on being able to get better as the year goes on, and obviously, clearly it's not happening, but it is to look at the fundamentals and look at the way we do things and all the way across the board, the way we're asking, what are we asking our players to do, and then players to be able to look in the mirror and see if they're executing exactly the way we want things executed. So there's a lot of things to look at, and we've got 8 games. Obviously, from here on out, we got to find a way to get better.
Better as the year goes on. I mean, really, honestly, they're getting progressively worse as the season is going on here now.
They've given up 175 points in the last 4 games. 175 points.
Have you ever heard of anything like that before? I mean, sincere.
It's almost 44 points a game.
That doesn't happen.
No, and it probably, I mean, let's be honest, it could be worse. It could have been worse.
Oh, the Colts could have put up 60 if they wanted.
Easily. So I don't know how it gets fixed. I mean, your secondary is ravaged by injuries. It's no good. I mean, you very rarely put any pressure on the opposing quarterback. So when you couple that with the fact that, I mean, you had 5 turnovers yesterday. You had the 4 interceptions and the fumble. I mean, what do you expect to have happen?
Yeah, but this is a special brand of horrendousness. Let's tell you, this is been some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPH or Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. Let's get back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. I'm interested to hear how Ira in Staten Island sounds this morning. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. I'm actually in a really good mood this morning. I'm getting through my workout, listening to the entertainment from you guys, because I'm past the point of that's it. You know, it's a total embarrassment. You know, we get to a point we can't even break games down anymore because they're non-competitive games. But this coaching staff, I saw it with LaFleur after week one. It's the entire staff is so out of touch and so in over their heads, including the head coach. Because guess what? Josh Allen last year, RJ probably knows this, he torched the 49ers with Saleh as a defensive coordinator. He comes back with the same game plan. Didn't he learn anything from Todd Bowles trying to blanket Sammy Watkins with Revis with the playoffs on the line 1-on-1? Nothing worked out with that. How do you not make adjustments? Rich, you mentioned it. The 4th-and-1 is mind-boggling. I think I don't wish this, and I hate to say it, a year from now you'll be opening up your local newspapers and you'll see at Thanksgiving time the list of 6 candidates.
Oh, God.
Who could be the next Jets GM and head coach? This is not good. I'm following this team since they started with the Titans. This is the worst New York Jets team I've ever witnessed. That's how bad it is.
Wow.
I don't think at the moment I can disagree with how bad this defense is. And you're right. I mean, the lack of adjustments. I get like, and this would always aggravate me about coaches, is you get the coach that felt so good about his system that it was all about the system. Never about the players. It was like, just give me the players. I put them in my system and we'll have success. As opposed to, okay, I have a certain, you know, each player has a certain skill set. You know, maybe we adapt the system to what we have, or maybe we even go game specific. Like coming into this Buffalo game, yeah, I love my system, but I just watched Jacksonville, who's not very good, hold them to 6 points. Josh Allen struggled. This is a team that, for whatever reason, has no interest in running the football. There's really one guy that scares the hell out of me, and his name is Steph Diggs. So let's work our great system around, you know, maybe a couple adjustments. Maybe take some things of what Jacksonville did so we can, at the very least, contain Steph Diggs a little bit. And no, we're not going to do that because our system is great.
Yeah, just stay with the system. You know what's upsetting to me is that Ira is not like an overreactionary Monday morning, you know, like freak out kind of guy. And for him to call us and say he has never seen it worse than this, It's telling of how bad it is right now.
Yeah, but I don't understand the mindset. I mean, let me start with this point before I get real heated. But any head coach, and I don't care what the sport is, I think it's probably more in football than any of the other sports, just because, you know, each side of the ball is so specialized. I'm telling you, during one of the breaks, Google how many coaches the Jets have. It'll blow your mind. But like, if I'm Robert Saleh, I need to know coming into this season as a rookie head coach that a lot of how I'm being judged by the fan base is going to be, because we knew coming into the season there weren't going to be a lot of wins, right? Like, how am I going to be judged? A lot of it would have to do with either fair or unfair, how well the defense played. Or if you saw, like, you saw steady progression from the defense, because that's why he has the job. We said, the same thing was with Adam Gase, right? Like, a lot of how we judged Adam Gase, well, and he was the play caller too, was how the offense looked. And the offense was horrendous.
Horrendous. And you know what? You wanted to see steps from the quarterback, obviously, for more reasons than just he hasn't been good. He's been hurt as well. And the defense. And you've seen none of it. We'll continue that conversation.
But I'm not
going to
blame him.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to blame him if Zach Wilson struggles, I'm not going to blame him. We're going to blame Mike LaFleur.
You wouldn't kill him.
But the defense to be historically bad the way it is.
It's shocking. It's glaring. Like, yeah, I have a guy that's been a fan for 60 years, and he's like, I've never seen anything like this before.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Bloor University, a fine four-year academic institution. It made its debut on the show last week during Is This a Real School or Not? And now has a Twitter account. You can follow Glor at Glor University, GLORE, in case you're wondering. They now have an official school song. Would you like to hear the school song?
Only if you sing it. I don't want it read.
No, I can't sing it.
No, you can.
No.
We all need it.
I can't do it.
Come on.
When all guests are gone and we've even lost Renan, we sing Glory, Glory to old Glor. When there's a bid of $2.99 and Spike hogs the line, we sing Glory, Glory to old Glor. When there's a punch to the mush and an erotic baker exposes his tush, we sing Glory, Glory to old Glor. When a texter can't leave the group and Buster goes boop, we sing Glory, Glory to old Glor. When a caller names him Del Piero and Peter gives a gift of zero, we sing Glory, Glory to old Glor. And there is the official fight song of Glor University.
It's so good.
So whoever is running the Glor account, God bless you. You're doing an amazing job.
Established in 1821, to be recited with pride at sanctioned university events.
or by invitation. Does it say that? Yes.
It really is
very
good.
Well done. Very well done. That's from the desk of Chancellor Harris Thatcher Vero, by the way.
By the way, how about this, too? We'll get back to all these Jets calls. Jets fans, get a call in. 1-800-919-3776.
Oh, look at you!
I need fellow Jets fans today. We're all hurting because that was embarrassing yesterday. What are the chances, though? So we got the game tonight. We picked the Rams.
Yeah.
They're at the Niners.
That Robert Woods tore his ACL after the season?
And he didn't know it.
Yeah,
how crazy is that?
Huh? He did post-practice interviews.
Yeah, he just thought he tweaked it. And then, I mean, probably not just a tweak because they went and got it MRI'd. But they went from having too much to now, like, OBJ becomes like a necessity then.
Absolutely. And listen, the K-Show, they hit their pick yesterday. They pick a game, and you find out the starting quarterback for their game for the other team, he's got COVID, he won't play. We pick a game, and then, you know, the second-best receiver on the team tears his ACL, and he's out.
That's the kind of year it's been for us.
It really has. But I still think we have a good chance to win this game tonight.
Well, even the survivors, too. I mean, how many chances did Pittsburgh have? I mean, Detroit, too. That was the worst field goal attempt I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was an awful football game.
That field goal attempt was awful.
Yeah, that really was. By what was his name? Santoso?
It was.
Who is this guy?
If you just saw the result, you'd be like, that had to get. Somebody got a hand on that.
Right.
Oh, no.
No. No, no.
I don't even think it didn't get over the.
No, it was terrible. Chris Myers called it good on the call. No, just kidding. Let's go to, that was unnecessary. Let's go to Derek in Brooklyn. Derek, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up, Derek?
I listen to you guys every day. I have a paper route in the morning. I listen every day. I usually call about basketball. I never call about the Jets. Because I hear enough people pulling on the team. I always say, I don't want to add. I don't want to pull on them. But this morning, guys, I've had enough. I've had enough. Because this front office sat across from Matt Rhule, and they told him they have to pick a staff. He said no and walk away. I guess they didn't have the same requirement for Robert Saleh. We have a whole bunch of rookie coaches who seem like they do not know what they're doing. Listen, guys, getting beat by Trevon Diggs, it's like me pulling up to an address. I'm supposed to deliver the 264, and I get this 368, and I say, yo, that's the address, and I just throw it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. These people do not know what they're doing, man. They don't know what they're doing. And I've just had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. Like, we need to fire everybody, and we need to start over. And it cannot be a different office. We cannot force them to start a team. I understand, but what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Because this is just too much at this point. This is too much. Like, and I swear, I stopped watching the game. I go watch the Red Zone channel yesterday, guys, to see what? Matt Jones is just ripping it. A rookie quarterback, ripping it. Like, the moment I start thinking the Jets got a chance, the Patriots are not going to be in the difference, not going to lead the division anymore. We're going to take this over. We are just going backwards, man. This is just horrible.
I'm sorry, Derek. I'm sorry you have to deal with this. And thanks for the phone call. But do you see what they're doing? Like, Ira, composed, a veteran fan, been around forever. I've never seen worse than this. Derek's like, you know, I don't even call about the Jets. I call about the Knicks. I had to call you today. And you hear the guy. He's broken. This organization is breaking people right now.
I don't know how else you're supposed to feel. I mean, how else are you supposed to feel about what you're seeing right now?
No, I'm not saying that you're acting incorrectly, anybody. I think this is exactly where you should and would act and react.
People aren't getting the right papers because he's so upset. I can't even imagine what he's throwing at people's doors right now.
No, he's and you're probably I didn't know we ordered the paper.
Yeah, you have no idea. He's just flinging papers around.
That's right.
Because he's so upset. I mean, you tell me, could this be going any worse?
No.
Like, could you have scripted a worst-case scenario?
I can't even believe they have two wins.
I mean, and who they beat, too. I mean, the fact that they beat Tennessee and Cincinnati. How about How about Tony Dungy last night, too, going, they're talking about Tennessee, and like, he brings up the point that Tennessee keeps winning. They lose Derrick Henry. They keep winning. They haven't really had one of those stinkers this year. And I'm thinking to myself, they lost to the Jets. Well, yeah. And Derrick Henry played in that game, and yeah. they lost to the Jets.
Well, remember, though, they didn't have the receivers. But yes, the Jets did. They did beat them. How did the Jets beat, watching what the Jets have become, how in the world did the Jets beat the Bengals and the Titans? How?
I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what happened. But as far as the amount of fight and effort you're getting right now on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know if it's it's a lack of talent because of the injuries and everything else. I don't know if it's, you know, someone like Franklin Myers just, you know, gets paid and then he just shuts it down.
It looks like he's quit.
They don't feel like they've, you know, they're given or they're being put in the right spot or the right, you know, system to have success. I don't know what it is, but over the last four games, it can't be worse.
No.
This is
a win. And you have a win factored into the last four games. And you still don't think it could possibly be worse. It is. It really is. It's dreadful. You know how it could get worse? Because at least Buffalo's good. Buffalo's a good football team. I don't know that they're the same team I thought they were going to be this year, and they have no running game, but at least they're good. If you play like this against the dregs of the NFL, that would be worse.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I want an honest answer from you. Did you know Matt Breida was on the Bills?
I did.
You did? Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I did. You know, how funny is it, too? They're sitting there talking about how, with Matt Breida's speed, and I mean, how he's playing in this game, I could see a bigger role for him than he fumbles. Immediately on cue, fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing about that game, though, too. Like, I don't understand, like, I don't know how many of the Buffalo Bills games that they actually watched leading up to this game. But I would imagine it's at least a couple. It's got to be more than that, though, because you're playing them twice during your division. On top of what you saw last week against Jacksonville, they scored 6 points. And then to come out with that defense, like, you know they don't want to run the football. They're not good at it. Well, they don't want to do it. They can't run the football. It. Like, make them run the football. Instead, no, we'll go single high and we'll go man with Steph Diggs. And we won't travel. Bryce Hall won't travel, who's our best corner. We'll just, because it's not what we do. So we'll let Steph Diggs just go wild. Just run wild on us. I just don't understand it. And maybe it's personnel. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense. Personnel or not, you would never play one-on-one coverage against Steph Diggs. Like, why would you ever do that?
But they did.
But why? But you're right.
That's a great question.
They can't run the football. You drop so deep that they have no choice but to run the football. Just assume, you know what? At some point, they're going to run for a yard and set up a 2nd and 9 or have a holding penalty and set up a 1st and 20 and get themselves behind the chains and behind the sticks. Instead, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And you know what? Maybe it's not a great way to attack Buffalo, but that's what we do. I'm Robert Saleh, and that's what I do.
Yeah, but I thought you had this great front four, right? Like, you know your secondary's bad. You know it's banged up. Joyner's out. May is out. You lose Echols in this game. The guy that you can't afford to beat you is Steph Diggs. And all I hear about how great this front four is. All Robert Saleh does is talk about how good this front four is.
I mean, come on.
Of course it's not. So if that's the case, I mean, if you really think that in your heart of hearts that your front four is good, which they're not, I mean, they barely put any pressure on Josh Allen. It's, all right, let's play. I mean, like you just mentioned, let's let them go 10, 12, whatever it ends up being, to get down the field and beat us that way. Let's make them do something that we know they don't want to do.
Have you seen a game plan from Robert Saleh yet that you say, you know what, he's a bright defensive mind. Like, they really get it. I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know if he's capable of doing both at the moment, though, Dave. It looks like his head is spinning. Like, the fact that you don't call timeout and then have that explanation afterwards as to why you didn't call timeout makes no, because we felt good about it. Well, I don't care how good you felt about it.
How good do you feel when the play clock reads 0?
Yeah, like at 1 second, you still feel good about it?
Yeah. I wonder if you could have like slowed down time and gotten into his ear. How do you feel about this? Feel great, right? Plenty of time. It was just
like, we're going to get this off. We're going to get, no, you're not.
No,
you didn't.
No, you're not. And you needed to. It's terrible. Todd in West Islip. Good morning, Todd. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, fellas? So I was actually there yesterday. You know, every time I go to a game lately, it feels like I just say to myself, why did I do that? 45 minutes to get in, 3.5 hours to get home. But, you know, the worst.
Where do you live?
I live on Long Island.
Islip.
West Islip out on, South Shore, Suffolk County. But the problem is that there was traffic absolutely everywhere yesterday. And I don't even think it was coming from the game. I just think it was coming from people coming home from wherever they were. But I can only tell you, it was painful. I was in that stadium. Thank God for MetLife. I was in the MetLife suite itself, so I didn't have to pay for alcohol. Because if I had to pay for alcohol, my wife would have said, you spend all that money to go to these games and you suffer. But on top of that, watching the game and watching it from above, I can't believe how outnumbered we were in our own stadium. There was more Buffalo fans there than there were Jet fans. They were loud. They were cheering. It was the most – the only game I've been to over the course of my life that was worse than that was when Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts. So I just have to tell you, there was no game plan. There was no preparation. We sat there. We said, all right, we're getting the ball. Maybe we could do something on offense again. Absolutely nothing. I don't understand. What are we doing as a team? What are they doing? Are they game planning? Why is it that every other team in this league comes out with a solid first drive? Because that's what you're working on all week. Yet we come out and we can never get anything done. And our defense can never stop a cold. So I'm just saying, I think until they can prove to me and probably thousands of other Jet fans that they're there to play, that's when we'll spend our hard money to go back and enjoy those games. But, gentlemen, that was bad yesterday. That was horrible.
I'm sorry, Todd.
You know what, I mean, Todd has to endure. I mean, to be at that game and then have a takeover from the Bills fans? It's almost like, I mean, the way he described what the stadium looked like, it was almost like Jets fans knew going in with what they saw from Buffalo against Jacksonville and how bad this defense has been. They're like, nah, we're all set. We'll watch this one at home.
Yeah.
We don't need to go watch this.
But can you imagine that? That the poor guy gets to the game in time, goes through the turnstile, the gates, right, gets in, watches that bloodbath, and then has a 3.5 hour drive home and gets home. I mean, 3.5 hours, he gets home at what, 7:30? So now his entire day has been devoted to a football team which looked like they didn't want to be out there yesterday.
We talk about it all the time, man. I mean, it's a commitment.
It is.
Financially, I mean, the time it takes, it's a commitment. And then
I mean,
to get this
for
as the payoff.
To get there, right? He probably left his house at 10, gets home at 7:30, so you're looking at 9.5, 10 hours of a day to watch that?
It's gross.
It is gross. Steve in Connecticut. Stevie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I'm 58 years old, and the only way that I can think that I became a Jet fan is because when I was 6, they went to the Super Bowl, and probably from there I said, hey, I'll be a Jet fan. There's no identity. There's no culture to this team. Where do you ever see anybody coming back and you know, the old Jets and being proud to be a Jet? And then you look at Saleh, who's supposed to be the next great guru coming out of here, young coach. He's got the predictability of Joe Walton and the expression of Todd Bowles. This is ridiculous. Even watching the Fuller just said, you know, do they watch the tape? Every other opposing team is wide open. What kind of defensive scheme does he put together? I mean, this is getting ridiculous, and I honestly think that Woody and the rest of the Wood family, they just sit there and say, hey, guys, you know what? This is New York. Take the money. In 3 years, you know what we'll do? We'll say we're rebuilding again, and then we'll get rid of another coach, and then we'll rebuild again. When does it stop? The bleeding just keeps going on and on and on.
But, Steve, that's part of the problem, though, Steve. I mean, we came into the season as fans being sold hope, right? The hope of a new quarterback, a young, smart, good-looking head coach. And that hope has lasted all 10 weeks.
People are already turning.
already because he's not wrong, man. I mean, look at it's 17-3 at the end of the first half. And it felt like it should have been worse than that. Let's be honest. But it's 17-3. Right? And you're coming off, I mean, you're coming off the Corey Davis. Yeah, the Corey Davis fumble, all of it. So it all sucks, right? And then you go first possession. So the Bills deferred. They're going to get the ball to start the second half. And I got to watch Steph Diggs catch a 23-yard pass down the left sideline with, oh, guess what they're doing again? With Javelin Guidry in man coverage. So that's how we're coming out of the locker room. We just watched it. We just watched. They're going to attack him. Every time Steph Diggs is lined up with Javelin Guidry one-on-one, the ball is going that way. Every single
coaching.
Time.
And that's exactly what they should do.
And that's how we start the second half.
It just gets worse from there. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry. The only thing I can tell you is guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. And here's a little bit of a bright spot for you. It's time to go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, let's go around the league. And it's brought to you by Jack Pocket. Well, this was a surprise in the nation's capital. How many people do you think FedEx Field holds? How many people do you think could fit into FedEx Field if they wanted to? Any guess on that?
How many people can fit into FedEx Field? I'm going to say
capacity would be what?
70,000.
82,000.
Wow.
82,000. Do you care to guess how many people they claim went through the turnstiles yesterday?
37,000.
52,000.
No, nice.
And there's no way they...
No chance.
I don't know that they opened up the upper deck of FedEx Field yesterday.
Well, how can you sit in the upper deck? I mean, wasn't there one of the games where there was poop water leaking on people in the upper deck?
Yes. But then don't you want to be in the upper deck?
No. Right? Why would you want to be up there?
Well, because at least you avoid the poop water raining down on you. I don't know. And the Washington football team went out there and played a really good game and really had their way against Tampa. And Bruce Arians, the head coach of Tampa, oh my, he was not happy. Take a listen to this.
Energy and passion is very fixable. The penalties, they got to get corrected sooner or later. The first play of the game, we're shifting and we jump off sides. I mean, they don't even run a play and we jump off sides. That's just the stupidity has to go away if we're going to go anywhere. No, it has nothing to do with ability. It's all about execution and being a smart football team. We're a very dumb football team.
Now, I had a feeling coming into this game, no Gronk, no Antonio Brown. Godwin was questionable. I didn't think that this would be a Washington win, but I thought it would be a somewhat competitive football game.
Yeah, I don't know if I felt the same way. I thought, I mean, after how the Bucs look going into the bye and what Tom Brady usually does coming out of the bye. Again, those conversations, right, about who's more important, Brady or Belichick, I don't know if you can separate the both. Because this is Tom Brady coming out of the bye, and you just heard Bruce Arians, and they lose to the Washington football team, who stinks. I mean, how often does Bill Belichick lose coming out of the bye? Very rarely.
Rarely.
Did you hear the stat by Shefty that he tweeted out? It said, for the second consecutive week, four teams, Carolina, Miami, Minnesota, and Washington, entered the week with a 500 or below winning percentage and defeated a team that began the week in first place or tied for first place. There's been eight of these wins in the past 2 weeks. Some crazy things happened in the last couple weeks.
One of them.
Crazy things happened in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, there really are. Last week we saw a crazy thing with Denver just obliterating Dallas. Well, yesterday Dallas had some fun of their own as they just...
How about this now? Yeah!
He's been waiting on that, huh? But you know what? I'm in a good mood today, and I'm going to be kind today. I'm not going to go after Santiago today. He deserved it. He earned it. 43-3, the final. A non-competitive game. His Cowboys really rebounded beautifully and just destroyed Atlanta, who had been playing some pretty decent football.
And Matt Ryan had been playing well. Did not play well in this game. Yeah, I mean, you expect Dallas to come out this way at home. Especially, too, I mean, this is... The other thing you got to take into account, too, is... And Santiago, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that defense seems to really, really like Dan Quinn.
Oh, without a doubt.
And this is Dan Quinn playing his old team.
He got the game ball yesterday.
That had to be part of it, too.
Yeah.
43-3 is a beatdown.
Yeah, they absolutely hammered them. Dak Prescott after the game. What type of team is this Dallas club?
Yeah, a resilient team. A team that's very aware of what we're capable of. As I said, I don't want to say last week just wasn't us. And everybody in that locker room knows that. It left a bad taste in our mouth. And I think it's a taste that we need, as I said, to understand that how tough this game is. But tonight just showed that when we focus in, we take it one play at a time. When our heart and our minds are where our feet are, we're capable of doing some great things. And so we've just got to continue to focus on that.
Dallas currently the 3 seed in the NFC. You don't want to be the 4. You don't want to be the last division winner.
It's just that, not for Ray.
That's going to get either Arizona or the Rams, and that is a bear of a game in the first round of the postseason. You don't want that.
You want the number 1 seed. You want the bye.
Well, you want the bye, you want the 1 seed, you want to go in through your home stadium. So right now, I think Green Bay is the 1 seed, right, in the NFC.
Yeah, and you're Green Bay. You saw the weather there yesterday. I can't imagine Russ's finger felt good in that kind of weather coming off that surgery.
No. Is it fair to say Russell Wilson came back a little bit too early from that injury?
Probably. I mean, he was rusty, but what's their option? I mean, that's a game their season's on the brink right now. Right? Oh. So, would you rather go there with Geno Smith?
No.
Hey, Seattle.
Mr. Unlimited, in fact, limited. Did you hear that Aaron Rodgers were not great yesterday either, threw a bad interception down in the red zone. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers after the game? He said he was all welled up. He was misty-eyed after that victory.
Aaron, why were you misty-eyed after a game in the middle of November?
You know, I just don't take these things for granted. Walking off the field as a winner, you know, it's fun beating that squad. We've had some battles over the years. But walking out with Preston, who I have so much love and appreciation for, and then hearing that type of response from the crowd was just a little extra special tonight.
It's a little misty-eyed from when Aaron Rodgers in a beatdown, 17-0 in that game yesterday.
He is doing whatever it takes right now to get everyone back on his side.
Yeah.
I just love the game. I just love the game.
I love this game of football, and I've always loved it. And I don't take anything for granted
anymore. By the way, I mean, how many – there was a stretch there where, like, elite, best of the best quarterbacks were making some head-scratching decisions with the football.
Russell Wilson got picked off. That was an awful interception.
Some of the interceptions being thrown yesterday. Aaron had one. Tom Brady threw an awful interception yesterday.
Yeah, he was not good. Brady was not good yesterday.
No, he was not. Listen, you have games like that. I don't worry. I mean, you mentioned some of the injuries that Tampa team. I don't worry about Tom Brady.
You know who was great yesterday and is he's good? Mac Jones, good quarterback, huh?
That's a good team. The conversation now is do the Patriots? Will the Patriots be the team that wins the AFC East? You know that's coming.
I said this earlier in the show, and I don't think it's a crazy thing to say. Is it wild to say the Patriots are the best team in the AFC right now?
The way they're playing, as far as being a complete team, they could run the football. I think the problem with the Patriots is they lack explosiveness.
That's
although
fair.
You did see some yesterday. Buffalo's defense is really good. But the problem with Buffalo is they can't run the football. They can't do it. I don't know if they don't want to. They just can't do it.
If you're one-dimensional going up against Belichick, I don't know, man. I like his chances.
Well, yeah. Especially if Mac Jones is going to be... if Mac Jones doesn't make mistakes with how accurate he is with the football, and you can run the... that's a game without their best running back, too.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you. In fact, you don't need a great running back. If you just have a good system and good running
back. A good offensive line,
you know, you're more than capable. By the way, how about Cleveland, huh? They led that game 7-0. Right down the field.
Oh, yeah, that was it, though. That was the last time they led.
Touchdown. And then completely fell apart. Speaking of falling apart, what a terrible, not even a loss, a terrible tie, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And to make matters worse, after the game, and why would you ever do this? Here is Najee Harris, rookie running back, after the tie against the Lions.
I didn't know you could even tie in the NFL. I was sitting on the bench ready, saying to myself, I got another quarter to go, but I guess somebody came to me and said, that's it. And I ain't never had a tie in my life before.
Can I ask you a serious question? Even if that's the case, even if you didn't understand that, in fact, you could tie, why would you go in front of reporters and claim ignorance like that?
He just wants to be honest, Dave. He just wants to be honest.
I don't understand.
And I don't know why you need to say that. Even if you didn't know, you just keep that to yourself.
I didn't know. Now I learned, and then you move on from there. And by the way, does it not freak you out that a guy that his life is around the game of football didn't know that it could end in a tie?
You'd be surprised how many guys are like that. And how many guys don't actually watch, don't watch their sport.
It's repulsive, honestly.
It was an awful roughing the passer in OT in that game, too, against Pittsburgh. Awful.
Terrible. Terrible call. And the Lions will not, well, I guess they could go winless, but they won't go 0-17 this season. Were we premature in our things are greatly troubled for Kansas City, or no?
No, I think they still got problems. I mean, even that throw he made to Williams in the end zone. I mean, that's a great catch. That's a sketchy throw, though. I mean, those have been throws that have been getting picked off. Last night, they didn't get picked off. I'm interested to see what happens with Vegas now, too. With everything, I mean, that's a resilient team, but there's only so much you can take.
Maybe they've reached their limit of what they have.
Yeah, there's only so much you can take. But, I mean, Kansas City's defense, as long as they continue to trend in the right direction, it's tough to quit on Pat Mahomes, man. When you see the amount of talent this guy has, it's tough to quit on Pat Mahomes.
All right. Have to pick right now who wins the AFC West.
No, I think Kansas City.
Kansas City. So they were in big trouble, and now we're back to Kansas City, who wins the division. Because Chargers yesterday, oof. Herbert was not great. Minnesota, I can't figure out Minnesota. And they, I guess you can say, saved their season by beating the Chargers out in L.A.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Chargers either. I mean, that game was set up for the Chargers at home, although there were a lot of Vikings fans. They got to figure that out. The Chargers really have no home field advantage at all. At all.
No.
But I expected them to win that game. That's too soon for them, I guess. You have to say, like, maybe they're a little bit ahead of schedule. They're not ready yet, but
I guess.
It feels like there's too much talent there.
Eckler has not been great. Their defense is not good. And, yeah, they lose that game at home yesterday. At the end of the game, they were down 7. 3rd and 20 for the Vikings. They pick up 18. And it's the trend in the NFL. They go for it. They run a pitch to Dalvin Cook. He picks up the first down. And to their credit, Minnesota saves
how
the season.
Good. How good is Justin Jefferson, by the way?
Oh, God. He really
is. He is so good.
The receivers and the running back on Minnesota are just as good as almost anybody in the league. And there you have it. That is Around the League.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.